Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. Mac, we have such a fun episode today. LaChyna Robinson is joining us. She is an absolute superstar. I just love chatting with her.
She absolutely killed it. But before we get to her interview and her introduction, let me tell you guys about our great friends over at Traeger Grills. Anyone at your cookout, they've never said, hey, look, this propane, this gas tastes so good. It really flavors and enhances the flavor of the food. Have you ever heard that, Kelly? I don't think so.
No, but it does make me think of the Friends episode where Ross ask the girl if she likes the smell of gas.
See, exactly. So no one, the answer is no. Nothing beats the taste of food that has been cooked over wood. That's just a fact. Traeger Grills has revolutionized outdoor cooking. They have 9 varieties of 100% all natural hardwood fuel made right here in the USA. You can literally have a different flavor of food each and every night of the week with all the different pellet flavors. How about hickory smoked ribs? I'm going to make those Friday night, or maybe some salmon-infused applewood. Only Traeger makes it simple to serve flavorful, healthy meals for Sunday dinner, game day parties, or those smoking Saturdays. Look, there are endless possibilities on the Traeger, and it makes it so easy. I feel like a barbecue pro. Go find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed their site, find what pellet grill you'd love to have. Use our promo code ACCSports for free shipping on your entire order.
Free shipping. Let's freaking go. That's a big deal because your shipping's probably going to cost something.
It's a big grill. It's going to cost a lot to ship that thing. Just think about it, guys.
I love it. All right, let's get into LaChyna Robinson. Y'all, she is an absolute force in the basketball world. She's a basketball analyst for ESPN and ACC Network, as well as a communications strategist, keynote speaker, and special event host. She is one of the most well-respected voices in the women's game. She has 2 different podcasts, No Idea When She Ever Sleeps, Around the Rim, a women's hoop podcast with ESPNW, and Huge Fan, her new podcast with SiriusXM, where she interviews musicians, actors, and comedians about their favorite sports teams.
LaChyna is also a former student-athlete, guys. She played basketball at Wake Forest from 98 to 2002. She was a 4-year starter with the Demon Deacons. Over the years, LaChyna has been a part of several NCAA development and leadership forums, including the NCAA Leadership Institute for Ethnic Minority Females and the NCAA's So You Want to Be a Coach program. She even founded her own company in 2008 called Stretch Beyond, where she helps mentor and empower student athletes to be intentional with developing their career, character, and community brand.
LaChyna is a shining light and an excellent basketball mind. So let's get into our interview.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
All right, LaChyna, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. We know that you are true. I know we always say this, Mac, when we have someone on, we're like, they're one of the busiest people in the business.
This is the first time we actually mean it.
With LaChyna, that's real. Yes, that is legit. It's the middle of basketball season. How are you doing? What does the middle of January look like for you, LaChyna?
Yeah. Thanks, first of all, for having me on. I just love watching you both from afar and how you've developed along the way in your careers and your passion for sports. So it's really cool to be with you on this platform. So January for me is probably a lot like January for both of you, though. You seem to really have a handle on a lot of sports. So I'm jealous. I'm glad that I can just stick to basketball. And when I get really stingy with my time, I'm only women's basketball, which is the case anyway. So, you know, it's just weekly games and calls and watching film, lots of film. But it's actually a little bit easier, I think, to game prep in some ways, but also more challenging in our current configuration. You know, for the listeners, you know, we're calling games from home. So it's very different. And I say it's been beneficial because I can actually cook dinner for myself and go work out. So I have a little bit more of a healthy lifestyle and can juggle things a little bit better. I think just being organized here at my home. But then, you know, of course, there are challenges as well. I mean, who doesn't want to be in the gym when the ball's bouncing and being able to make your own observations at shoot around? Like, mm-hmm. she has not hit a shot all afternoon. You know, coaches aren't going to tell you that on the call. Those are the kind of things you peep out yourself. So I miss the X and O's and spending time with the student athletes and coaches. But we're calling games and we're healthy. And so I have no complaints.
No doubt. And I know that you spent a little bit of time, well, you've spent a lot of time in Connecticut, as Mac and I have. That has been, as much as we love our friends up there in Bristol, that hasn't been the worst, not going up to Connecticut. I was just on a Zoom call for ladies' night. I'm sitting in my backyard. It's about 65 degrees here in South Carolina. And they're all like, yeah, it's freezing.
There's a snowstorm up there, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. Shout out to especially Kelsey Riggs, because yes. she's always like posting her pictures. And I'm like, oh my God, is that snow? And I feel so bad. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I live in Atlanta, is because I checked, you know, like the history of snowfall here. And it fit within the requirements. So I don't love snow. And I actually don't have to go to Bristol too often. Last summer was an exception because of the way we were broadcasting our WNBA season. But Kelly, I know you were spending a lot of time up there, and especially, you know, to do a halftime or two, you're like, I can do that from the couch. No problem. Right.
It is not the worst. I'll just say that. Okay. LaChyna, you're someone who has really made your own path in the sports world. Like, I really don't think there's someone that has gone before you that has done all the things that you are doing. And you tweeted recently that you didn't really start on your sports media path until your late 20s. I know you were director of operations at Georgia Tech for a while. So what advice would you give young people who are still trying to make their way in media and maybe feel like they don't have it all figured out?
I think my biggest advice would be just to create your own path. Like, I don't know two people that are doing the job that we're doing that got there the same way. You know, I didn't think about getting into broadcasting until I was in my late 20s. I left Wake Forest, you know, played college basketball there. Actually got an internship at the ACC office in Championship. So I lived in Greensboro for a year. And from that, got a job at Georgia Tech, where I was working on the administrative side with the women's basketball team. And not until I was probably 27, 28, you know, people kept asking me, have you ever thought about television? Did I start thinking about television? And to be honest, I loved my job at Georgia Tech. You know, I was always intrigued with how things happen behind the scenes as a student athlete. Like, the ACC seemed like this huge place to me when I was in college. And I remember pulling up on the first day of my internship, and literally at that time, and it's grown some, there were like 25 people working at the ACC. Yeah. And I was like, how are you doing all of this? Like, I thought it was some huge place with, you know, all these people. And so you just learn a lot about what goes into making the college experience for us. And I thought it was kind of cool that I got to weigh in on things that were happening around championships and shaping the student athlete experience. And then, you know, wanted to be an athletics director. But, you know, in your late 20s, you can't see yourself sitting behind a desk signing documents and coming up with budgets and all that. And I had done some of that work, but it was like I wanted to be closer to the game. So little did I know, a lot of the work I was doing, a lot of the networking, a lot of the speaking engagements that I was doing prior to getting into television was actually helping me tremendously. Like, I knew exactly who to call when I decided I wanted to get into broadcasting. Like, I knew who all the, you know, the people were in charge, and I had met folks at the networks, and I knew who I needed to call at the ACC. So that was my path. And I would just say, whoever you are, wherever you are, don't worry about how close or how far you are from your dream. Just follow your own road, and you'll get to where you want to be.
I love that. And I tell that to people all the time. And it's actually interesting to kind of hear your story from you. Obviously, I've read it and seen it other places. But to hear kind of how you got where you are, it's a little bit similar, kind of eerie to mine with being in athletic department and then, you know, kind of moving away just to find yourself coming back to the sport. And I love the part of what you said, the fact that there is no blueprint to what we do. And maybe that's a little discouraging to some people, but I think it should be very encouraging in the fact that you can be who you are, and we all have these different paths and different journeys to get to the same place. And so I think that people should actually find comfort in that fact. Let's go back to women's basketball and knowing that you said that you're stingy with your time with supporting these women and in the college realm, in the WNBA. You've been calling hoops for a long time. How have you seen the game change? Maybe specifically, let's talk WNBA first, and then maybe in the past 10 years or so, And then moving forward, I mean, where can it go? Because just my sample size is very small. And I think maybe even post-college is when I really started diving into the women's game, the WNBA. And even since that, I mean, 5 years, it seems to be very drastic in my eyes.
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. You know, it's interesting. We're coming off of the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death, because one of the things that I had found myself talking about over the past few years leading up to his passing was just the impact that I felt like he was going to have on women's basketball, because it seemed like there's just been this synergy, this energy around the WNBA where people were starting to pay attention, and Kobe was going to be a huge advocate, and Gigi was going to be the future of the league. So definitely saddened coming off of the anniversary of their passing, along with everyone else that passed away on that day. However, I've seen the most growth in the play itself, to be honest. Like, the WNBA is very exciting to watch. And I think not until people actually watch it, and I wouldn't even say on television, I think when you watch it in person, you're really blown away by the speed, the athleticism, the skill of these women. They are just fantastic players. They're the best in the world, and they're a lot of fun to watch. And there's only 144 positions in the WNBA, so you're going to get the cream of the crop. And, you know, what I'm watching in terms of the product, like, it's interesting. I was having a conversation today about a women's basketball game that took place in 2011, and the score was like 45-55. And I'm like, we don't really have those games anymore. Like, the game is faster, the pace is better, and the star power of the league is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm sure you guys feel it right there in South Carolina with Asia Wilson and who she is on and off the court. And, you know, Elena Deladon, her story going from UConn to Delaware, and Neko Gumike, who's the president of the Players Association. These women are brilliant. They're outstanding players. They're well-traveled because they're spending their overseas, spending their time in the offseason overseas, living in different countries and learning different languages, and their mothers and their business owners. So the on-the-court product has been the biggest area of growth, but also us just embracing these women as role models and being willing to put them in front of kids in the community and on commercials and on billboards and saying, you know, they're awesome. You know, men are not the only people out here playing professional sports.
That's right. Come on.
And as we come up on the 25th anniversary of the WNBA, I'm just really, really excited about where the league is headed.
I agree with you. And I think all the things that you just mentioned with the speed of the game, the level of talent, the superstars. I mean, there are more, I think, right now, well-known women playing this game and superstars playing this game than ever before. And whether that's social media, whether it's the TV deals, whether it's just the general, you know, population now
the
more accepting.
Hoodie, Mac.
The orange hoodie. I've had one. I wanted one. I finally got it. but it's just really cool. And for me, you know, with aspirations to be a future, you know, father. And if I do have a daughter, for her to be able to look at these players and say, I have a future in this if I want to, I think it's just really cool. So just huge props for you for being kind of a day one with this and supporting it. And I think the growth has truly been tremendous.
No doubt. What about the college game, LaChina? Because, you know, I think the college game has grown a lot over the last 10 years as well. And we're even, I think one of the keys, and I love your thoughts on this, like, it was always UConn, Tennessee. We were always talking about those programs, the Dukes, the Marylands. But we have new bloods. You know, in the ACC, the Florida State men love to be the new blood. But South Carolina's of the world and Louisville and Oregon, I think that's helped the game grow. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely seeing more parity in women's basketball. And in my opinion, it starts with just diversity of school selection when it comes to some of the bigger recruits. You know, like, I was at Louisville when Haley Van Lith was days away from making her decision. And I mean, it was so quiet around that place. You could hear a pin drop, like the nerves around there, because you know how much of a game changer a top 10 recruit can make in the women's game. And as we've had more players make decisions to not go to UConn or Tennessee or Baylor, but to go to Mississippi State, you know, and to go to South Carolina, to go to these different schools, then we see them becoming consistent contenders, to go to Oregon if you're Sabrina Ionescu. So I think that's where it starts. But I also believe that grassroots basketball, and I was having this conversation with Jeff Walls the other day, is just better preparing these young women, whether it's on the USA basketball level. You know, now we've expanded and there's three on three you know, basketball for USA that you can partake in, that creates a spot that wasn't, you know, you might not make the national team, you may not have made the 17 and under team, but the more opportunities for these women to get, or these young women to get international experience has prepared them. I also think skill development is more advanced than what was there when I was a kid. It was like, hey, get your ball, go outside and shoot.
Right.
But
right.
Now, and this is a little unfortunate, you also have your phone or your video, but you also have to have your trainer.
That's right.
And so, you know, social media has just blown up. And so now this is a good thing. I mean, a young girl can turn on her Instagram and see that Candace Parker's in the gym and think, oh, maybe I need to get in the gym. Like, prior to this, you just guess why Cheryl Swoops was such a great player. You really didn't know why. But so now, you know, I just think the training is better, the strength and conditioning, they're coming into college stronger and with a better understanding of the game. As long as the coaches don't mess it up, the players are pretty good.
Can I tell y'all, I was obsessed with Cheryl Swoops as a kid. The fact that you brought up Cheryl Swoops, I was the biggest Houston Comets
fan. She had her own shoe, right?
In the world.
Was she the first woman to have her own shoe? I mean, she's massive. She was.
We wore them at Wake. We had her.
Oh, did y'all really?
We had hers and we had Lisa Leslie's. Like, I think they were only available for like team shoes because I never remember the Lisa Leslie's being on sale for like merchandise for anybody to go to Foot Locker. I think the Swoops were, but yeah, I definitely had a pair of Lisa Leslie's and they were bomb. Yeah.
Got to. Mac, we went to a Comets game because they played in the summer. We went to a Comets game on my birthday. I don't know, 10th birthday or something. And Swoops hit the game winner on my birthday.
Come on. That was just for you. She did that just for you, Kelly.
Said it all.
Oh, man. Coolest thing ever. Okay. Before we get to ACC Hoops, LaChina, you have a new podcast. You have a bunch of podcasts, but you have a new one called Huge Fan. You talk with celebrities who are massive fans of different schools. Who did you meet on that pod that just like blew you away? I mean, you have to have some cool stories.
Yeah, man, there were so many. Everyone was great. You know, I was a little hesitant starting out because I was like, first of all, some of these celebrities, their favorite teams are ice hockey teams. I don't know anything about ice hockey. My football knowledge is about as big as my pinky fingernail.
No, come on. Hey, we got to get you right. Like, come on.
I know, Eric. We got to get me together. Seriously. It's bad, but so I was a little, you know, I was like, wait, I'm used to being the expert. And thanks to the good folks at SiriusXM, you know, they had a vision. And they were like, listen, we don't want you to be the expert. We want you to get the good stories. And I was like, well, that I can do. So, wow. Ashley Judd blew me away. You know, she is just, I say this, I've said this on several occasions. She was sick on the day we taped, like bronchitis, like coughing. We could hear her as she was setting up. She was coughing and it looked like she may have still been in her bedroom and had like night clothes on. And when she got on, she kind of coughed. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, if you're not feeling well, we could try to do this another time. And she was like, no way am I missing an opportunity to talk about my Wildcats.
Come on.
And so she sat through that interview. And when I tell you, she knows stats from the 1989 team, seventh, eighth, ninth player on the bench, 3-point field goal percentage, her knowledge, she has not missed a beat. She can take you through the entire pregame routine of the team, of the band, of the cheerleaders, of the announcers. I mean, she is unbelievable. And then there was just some like Tim McGraw, you know, I'm embarrassed to say that I probably know one Tim McGraw song. I like it. I love it. I want some.
That's not a bad one. I'm happy you know that one.
So that's all I've got in my wheelhouse.
It's a bop. I mean, it's a bop.
Right. And yeah. But I just, he was so down to earth and he, you know, took me back to the days. He actually found out that his father was his favorite baseball player.
That story is insane. He was a pro baseball player.
Yes,
yeah.
His dad was a pro baseball player and he had his poster up on his wall as a kid, but at that time did not know it was his dad. So crazy. When he told that story, just blew me away. But also he is just the way he gushes over his wife and his daughters. I mean, just gushes over them. He loves his children and his wife and invited me to an LSU tailgate. So that was cool. So he was good. And then my favorite conversation, though, was probably Michael Bublé, which I didn't know a lot about him coming in. But he had, like, looked me up on YouTube, which was weird. So we started this conversation. First of all, we were both singing Crisscross coming on. Like, I heard him say, Jump. So we both started like saying the lyrics, and we're around the same age. So we connected right away, but he was just, oh, if you only listen to one Huge Fan podcast episode, listen to Michael Bublé. It was really good. He has an ice rink in his basement. That's how much he loves the Canucks. So it was insane.
Wow.
It was a really, really fun time.
That is tremendous. I think all of our goals now, everyone that's listening to this, is to have an ice rink in your basement. I mean, that's what we want to blow up and be able to have. LaChyna, let's move to some ACC hoops. And, you know, when you look at this conference on the women's side, we have the number one and number two team in the country in the ACC, a pretty big deal. And then as I say that, I think, well, we've had that a lot of times, more than anybody else. So maybe it's not as big a deal to the ACC as I think. But for Louisville and NC State, both being 1-2, Louisville number one, NC State number two, are these Final Four teams, do you think, right now? Do you think both, if either, have a shot to win it all?
Yeah, both of these teams have Final Four potential. They are well-coached. They're balanced. They can score. They can defend. It would not surprise me if not just one or both of these teams end up playing the first weekend in April. Well, who knows with COVID when the Final Four would be. But, you know, my concern, though, as we look ahead to the matchup between these two teams, is just that I don't know that they're playing their best basketball right now. And so I hope we get the best version because it's been a rough season for both. I mean, I don't think Louisville has really gotten back to the consistent efficiency that they had before their COVID break. You know, two out of their last three games, they haven't hit the 70-point mark. You know, they shot 25%, I think, in the fourth quarter against Miami, just a very different Louisville team. So when they're not playing in transition, they're having some struggles in the half court. And NC State is a much more veteran team in terms of just the way their upperclassmen lead them and their overall experience. So defensively, you better believe they're going to try to make it tough for Louisville. So I'm a little concerned about the Cards. We'll see what happens this week leading into the big game on Monday. And then on the other side for NC State, they've got an inside-outside attack. Again, they're veteran savvy. You know, I believe that Kayla Jones is their most important player. May not be their best player, but most important just because she always comes up with the big plays when they need them. You know, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner's playing well. But in the absence of Elisa Cunane against Virginia Tech, I mean, that game was Virginia Tech has had a lot of fourth quarters. Oh. Don't even get me started. I have a little headache just thinking about it. But they have blown some fourth quarter leads. So I'm not surprised NC State came back to win that one. But they did not have Lisa Cunane. I don't know if you've heard Kelly when she'll be returning. I have not. So without an All-American level center and really the foundational piece for their offense and defense on both ends, I mean, that could be a game changer. But Kai Crutchfield got healthy during this time of layoff for NC State. So she did step up and have a 20-point game. And maybe that's the answer. Maybe everyone's got to do more. But I just hope that both of these teams can be fully healthy and that we can see the best version of both.
Yeah, me too. We're still figuring out if we're going to see Elisa Cunane. You know, she's been in COVID protocol. That's about all they will tell us. So who the heck knows? But that's such a big factor. So it's hard to not talk about it. With Louisville, you know, the fact that they're starting two freshmen and they're the number one team in the country is pretty crazy. I do think with Kiana Smith, her ankle injury, and then now the past couple of games, she hasn't really been herself. And that's part of their issues offensively, in my opinion. But what do you like about these two freshmen, Cochran and Van Lith? And explain to our listeners how hard it is to start as a freshman for the number one team in the country.
Man, especially when they've got depth. I mean, they've got options. Look at the way Elizabeth Dixon played the other night. She could easily be starting at the five position with the season she's having. You know, I just think, again, going back to the conversation about how prepared some of these young players are now coming into college, Haley Van Lith is one of the strongest guards, freshman guards I've seen in a long time, just physically. I mean, she's in a stance defensively. Looks like she could sit in a stance all day with as big as her quads are. You know, on her passes, you see the strength in her upper body, some of the moves she makes. She can take a hit. She's 5'7", which just blows my mind. And yet she's an outstanding rebounder. So her physical strength to me is what makes her so durable and it has made her so dependable this year. Cochran's probably a bigger surprise for me because I think sometimes it's harder for post players to have an immediate impact at the college level because it takes some adjustment. You're shooting over players around the basket that are, you know, 3-4 inches taller than you, especially in the ACC when you're thinking about Kitley and Kubai and some of those big bodies inside. And she's only 6'3", but she's very skilled. When you watch her footwork, her mobility, how she finds angles on the glass, she runs the floor well. I just have been very impressed. And yeah, she was a McDonald's All-American, but we all know that that doesn't have to translate to effectiveness. She has been effective, but you got to give Louisville credit in that they are one of the best player development programs in our game. And what Jeff Walls and his staff do, getting players better year after year, but also in the time that they've had since the summer, they've been together since the summer, and developing those freshmen, that's what we're seeing now in the results of their play.
I love that. And another team that I've been really impressed with this year has been Georgia Tech, and seeing the way they attack, how they've been, you know, growing up quickly. What do you think is their ceiling? What do you think is the ceiling for Georgia Tech this season?
Boy, I mean, I wouldn't have thought this coming into the season, but Georgia Tech has a good chance of finishing, I would say, in the top three in the ACC. I mean, I see it very hard displacing Louisville or NC State for those top two spots, but Georgia Tech has been extremely impressive. And I think one of the trends we're seeing across the country, and I would say the same about Georgia Tech, is in this COVID year where you're having stoppage and maybe not traditional practices. And it's just everything's so different and you're not able to get the normal flow that you would in a given season. The teams that have experience are those that are thriving. And I just think you cannot say enough about Lorella Kubai, Lodamai Lotnin, Kiera Fletcher, and what having those experienced players that have been together on a team, they've been a core unit long enough that they know each other, they understand each other. And you don't want to take any credit away from Nell Fortner either. I mean, she would be an early candidate for me for Coach of the Year and how her team is performed. But again, when you look at the teams that are struggling, most of the time they don't have that veteran leadership or that veteran core or players that have experience, and Georgia Tech does. And their players have come back more improved this season as well.
They have, definitely. We kind of have, and I mean this in a good way, we have a glob in the middle of the ACC standings right now on the women's side. We've got teams like your Deeks, my Tigers, North Carolina, even Florida State, just because they haven't played that many games, that are all bubble-ish. They're bubble-ish-est teams right now. So which squad, and I guess you could pick more than one if you wanted to, LaChina, which of those do you believe in the most? Like, we're going to see that team in the tournament come March.
Oh, man, tough. If you would ask me at the beginning of the season, I got to stop putting all my chips in the Virginia Tech basket.
I know. I'm with you on that. I love them. I love Asia Shepherd. Yes. I love Kitley, but they can't seem to win games.
No, they can't seem to win games. So that has been disappointing for me. But Georgia Tech, as I mentioned, is a team that I think has played very well. Syracuse has not, on paper, really lived up to their potential. Coming into the season, I picked them as a sleeper Final Four. I'm going to hang on to that because Tiana still has more time to get adjusted. You know, she's probably playing at maybe 70% of, you know, what she is ultimately capable of, just coming back from that, from sitting out because of cancer, but also she had an injury earlier this season. I don't know. That team just has something to it. Again, the veteran leadership, their style of play can be hard for teams to adjust to. If your three is off, you could be in trouble. I just think there's something special there with Syracuse. But the team that I think may surprise some, that could make some noise, is Florida State. You know, I just look at their pieces and, you know, coming into the season after losing everything that they lost from last year, you're like, okay, what can this team be? They don't have Sue Samurai. You know, who is really going to emerge to be the leaders of this team? But Puises, Weber, I mean, Jackson, they have all come back improved. And I just like the athleticism and the energy that they play with. Morgan Jones is having a heck of a season for the Noles. And so they would be the team that maybe some people aren't checking for. You know, it took them a while to log games because they had a lot of COVID stoppage, and also had a lot of cancellations and postponements. But they're the team that I think we got to be on the lookout for.
I love that. And I think, you know, we've kind of hit on a couple of different teams here and want to get your opinion on, you know, some of these awards that'll be presented at the end of the year. Let's start with one that's maybe a little less obvious and maybe a little bit of conflict here. Who is your coach of the year right now?
Yeah, I would definitely say my coach of the year right now is Nell Fortner. And I go back to Georgia Tech, how they've performed versus what maybe my expectations were coming in. I think the media may have picked Georgia Tech a little lower than the coaches. So maybe they were in on something that we didn't know.
It's our fault.
Yeah. So I would definitely say Nell Fortner.
Come on. And then maybe one that's a little bit easier, and maybe even this national player implications. Who do you think is ACC player of the year right now?
Oh, yeah. You would have to say Dana Evans. There's no doubt about it. When you look at her role, even when you think about their starting lineup, to have two freshmen and a transfer. So those are three players in your starting lineup that weren't playing on the team last year. So it's Dana and Balogun are really the consistent pieces. And Dana has kept that ship afloat, let's be honest. Like, and then the number one team. So I believe if I had to pick today, it would be Dana Evans.
Do you think she has a lock on National Player of the Year as well? Or do you think there's a little bit more discussion there?
So no, I don't think she's a lock for National Player of the Year. The competition is stiff when you look at Haley Jones of Stanford or Nas Hillman in Michigan or Aaliyah Boston and how she's played as of late for South Carolina. And that's just a very short list of some of the candidates, Ryan Howard. But she'll be in the conversation, especially if Louisville ends up winning ACC championships, whether regular season, tournament, and is one of the higher seeds in the NCAA tournament. I think Dana, I'm just one that my player of the year is probably not going to come from the sixth best team in the league. I do think that team success is very important. Again, I also look at factors like, you know, what do they have around them? You know, what challenges maybe have they had to face when I'm thinking about a player of the year? And then I'm also big on efficiency. You know, I don't care if you're putting up 25 points a game, if you're shooting it at 35% right. from the field. And Dana, you know, keeps her numbers up, leading her team in assists and steals and scoring. And again, they're the best team in the country.
That was fun. LaChyna, thank you so much. Thank you for joining
Anytime.
Us. That was a ton of fun.
Yeah, LaChyna, that
yeah,
was so
Yeah, no,
great.
That was a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys having me. If I can ever help with anything, please let me know. But I just love that you guys took it on your own and were like, we're going to do
Come
our
on.
Own thing and get this done. So I definitely appreciate it and good to be on with you.
All right, that's it from our Traeger Grills Guest of the Week, LaChyna Robinson, yet again. Just a superstar, guys, and a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Whenever I do these Traeger reads on the front end, Kelly, it just gets me hungry, and I know it gets you guys hungry too. Do yourself a favor, go buy a Traeger grill, and once you do that, download the Traeger app or go follow them on social media at Traeger Grills. They post some awesome recipes, some awesome how-to videos. They just did a really good one today with some veggies, some steak. It was a lot of fun to watch. And honestly, Kelly, I just find myself looking at that app, looking at Instagram, and just thinking, what the heck am I going to cook next?
I love it. And, you know, when the heck are you going to cook for us? Because I'm waiting on the invite. And, you know, maybe we'll wait until I can taste again. All right, on to our ACC of the week. This is brought to you by Sunshine Beverages. And this is from Thursday to Thursday, all right? So last Thursday up to this Thursday, our athlete, coach, and craziness of the week here in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I'll go ahead and kick us off with my athlete of the week. It's kind of funny because we just talked about her with LaChyna Robinson, but for me, it is Dana Evans from Louisville. She played three games in the past week because of some schedule changes. So she played Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday against Syracuse, all wins, by the way. Against Syracuse on Thursday, 21.7 assists, no big deal. Against Wake Forest, 25 points in the game winner, which was an epic three-point play. You need to go to ACC Network and Louisville's Twitter and find it. And then on Tuesday, 20 points and 5 assists in a win over Miami. So she is balling out. And this is a crazy stat. It's not in my craziness, Mac, but I'm just going to say it. Louisville, over Dana Evans' career, is 24-0 when she scores 20 or more points. They have yet to lose a game when she scores 20 or more points. So that's my athlete of the week.
The game plan seems very simple. Get Dana the ball, get out of the way, and you're going to win the basketball game. It seems that simple. I'll tell you another game plan that worked kind of similar to that, and you and I predicted this to happen. How about UNC's Armando Bacot, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, a huge road victory against Pitt. We mentioned how they have struggled on the road, which a lot of their fans got a little angry about that. But that's just the case. When they go on the road, it's hard to win. They fed the post, UNC did. Armando was a big part of that, and that's why they got the big win against Pitt. How about your coach, Kelly?
All right, my coach of the week is Tony Bennett at Virginia. I think Virginia is playing such good basketball, especially their last two games, a tough, hard-fought win over Georgia Tech. And then they blew out Syracuse on Monday on national TV. I thought they won in different ways. You know, the Georgia Tech win was a little bit of a slower game. They didn't shoot the ball as well, but they won. And then against Syracuse, they just put on a clinic of how to beat the zone. 14 made threes. They had 23 assists on 29 made baskets, plus 13 on the glass. They blew out Syracuse 81-58. Tony Bennett, he has Virginia looking really good right now, Mac.
Yeah, there's no question. And like you just said, winning different ways, that's what great teams find ways to do. That's how they get it done. My coach of the week is Steve Forbes, head coach of Wake Forest, getting his first ever ACC win on Saturday. Congratulations to Wake and coach Steve Forbes. Huge accomplishment there.
I like Steve Forbes. He's unfiltered. He says whatever he wants.
We need more people like that in this conference.
We do.
I love it.
We do. I love it. All right. My craziness of the week for the Florida State men. You guys know I love the Virginia and Florida State men. They both look excellent. I think they're both Final Four contenders. Over Florida State's last six games, they have had six different leading scorers. It just talks about their depth. In the win over Gardner Webb, Anthony Polite led them in scoring. At Clemson on December 29th, Scotty Barnes led them in scoring. Against NC State, it was Raekwon Evans. He had 24 in that game. Against North Carolina, it was MJ Walker, 21 points in that one. Against Louisville, it was Raekwon Gray, 17 points. And then against Clemson, it was Koprivica. He had 13 points. That is crazy. Six straight games with six different leading scorers. Only Florida State could pull that off, Mac.
It's kind of like Virginia doing it different ways. This is what we're telling you guys. Elite teams find ways to win in different kind of ways. Different players stepping up. That's why I truly think Virginia, FSU, they're on a collision course. For my crazy, I'm going to the women's side. Listen to this stat, y'all. The most rebounds in a major conference from a player 5'7 or shorter. Okay? We don't think people who are 5'7 or shorter are getting a lot of rebounds. Lodomai Lotnin from Georgia Tech is averaging almost 7 rebounds a game, and she's like 5'6 and a half. They give her 5'7. It's remarkable. You've got to be scrappy. You've got to be constantly moving. And she is going after that ball and making a big difference for her team, Kelly.
Mac, I love that stat. Lodomai Lotnin is one of my favorite players in the ACC. And to grab 6.5 boards at 5'7 or under, that's just incredibly impressive. Our ACC of the week is brought to you by Sunshine Beverages. Look, we know you're busy. You're on the go. You want an easy, delicious boost, but you don't want to overload on caffeine. You want Sunshine. Let me tell you guys, Sunshine just came out with their sparkling energy waters. Y'all, these will change your life. They changed my life. Zero sugar, zero calories, great flavors like citrus lime, lotus pear, pomegranate acai. I love these sparkling waters. As I mentioned, zero sugar, zero calories, but you still get that 70 milligrams of caffeine. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our code ACC10 at checkout to get 10% off of your order. And our podcast is produced by our guy, Richmond Weaver. We needed him today. I know we always say that, but y'all, this was the real deal. There may have been a situation where I accidentally unplugged my mic in the middle of the LaChina interview. It was really embarrassing, but we moved on. So thank you so much, Richmond. And check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports. I believe LaChina was also on that pod. So find that wherever you get your podcasts.
there's been a lot of crossover between our guest, his guest. We're taking a lot of his good talent, and they do a great job for us as well. Guys, thanks for tuning in. This episode of Gramlich and McLane brought to you by Traeger Grills. Always appreciate you guys listening. If you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, a little review. We'd love to hear from you guys. And until next time, we'll see y'all.